Welcome to Brews with the Homies. On this episode, we got three fantastic beers that we picked up from our local pickup spot, Corey's. Fellas, yep. We got JB, we got Heron, we got me, D-Bro. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good, you know. We just did a bye episode, had some good brew hosts, and now it's time for a big episode where we have multiple. So
when he says multiple, we got three beers today. And all three beers, we picked them up from our local craft beer spot, Corey's. Corey's also sells wine. They sell whiskey. They sell a whole bunch of shit over there. We love going there. Shout out to you, Corey's. But the first beer we're going to do is a Japanese lager.
Yes.
From 8-Bit. It's been a while since we have 8-Bit on.
Yes, it has been.
And the name of the beer is Local Katana. It's a 3.8% Japanese lager. So, JB, what makes this lager Japanese?
So, I think we were talking about it a little bit beforehand, but a lot of the times you see Japanese rice lagers, right?
Yeah.
So, it goes into that process where I think you guys were talking about, Heron probably know a little bit more about it, but just the way that they add the rice into the mix of making the beer.
So, Heron tasked me and said, hey, D-Bro, you need to do your homework. And I said, yes, sir, I got you. I will do my homework. So, a Japanese lager and a Japanese rice lager is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it's what, pretty much the same thing.
Just how they market it. It's just,
they do majority of rice because the rice produces sugar for the yeast to eat to make alcohol. And it keeps it very, very light colored.
Yes, like your favorite.
Very.
Coors Light.
Yeah, style. Like my favorite Coors Light. But this is actually, I personally think, a lot lighter than a Coors Light.
Oh.
So I've had this one before, fellas. Let's dive into it. Cheers. So, cheers. Oh, oh no. Man down.
I was getting ready. I was thinking.
He was getting a little too excited.
Because, you know, like we've seen Mexican lagers with like corn in it.
Yeah.
You know, like corn introduced.
Yes.
Same thing. You know, yeah, just so different ingredients, making lagers, lagering, which is the whole process.
Oh.
You know.
We had American lagers. We had Mexican lagers. Now we're having Japanese lagers. What's the next lager we're going to have, boys?
We have to find it.
I don't know. The dark lager has been like my favorite.
Oh. Yeah, we love dark lagers.
I haven't found a dark lager recently, so we might have to find one.
Yeah, have to find another one.
But I will say, right off the bat, this does taste like a rice Coors Light. Very bland.
It is just super, super light, crisp, and refreshing.
Yeah.
Has a tint of sweetness though, almost like when I'm tasting it, it's like a sweet Coors Light that's even lighter than a Coors Light.
Yeah,
like it's weird.
I didn't think it was possible, but I think we found it. I almost want to like DM 8-Bit and be like, "Yo, did you guys like when you had this? Be like, oh shit, we accidentally discovered the rice version of a Coors Light.
It's like did we just find the ultimate light?" Light beer, right?
Like, right. And what's crazy about this is, too, it's only 3.8%. So it's not like you're, like, fucking down in something that's going to be like, oh, man, it's going to get me fucked up. No, this is just light, relaxing, especially when you live in the desert like us, and when especially for us, when we go golfing and it's like 120 out, 115, we're like, fuck, man, want something light? I think this is definitely going to be one of those beers that if 8-Bit keeps producing, I think I might have to cop a shit ton of them.
Yeah.
Just so we have them for the golf course. Because I feel like, you know, sometimes when you get on the golf course, you have your IPAs, you have your sours.
Yeah,
yeah, it's refreshing. But, like, this right here is just, like,
classic. Trying to keep concentration, but want a little bit of something to take that job.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Something like this, just incredible. It's, you know, we used to joke, like, the Montucky, the beer in between beer, stuff like that. But this is... this is what I'm talking about. Beer in between beers, something light, crisp. I'm not in the mood one night for, you know, my heavy hitters or even like a 6.8 IPA.
I'm just gaming with the boys, playing some rank, got to grind it out, you know, or Hell Divers. Yeah, got to focus up real quick, you know.
Just a relaxation beer.
Yeah, just something we can sip on. Heron, I know JB and I kind of dominated this beer, but what are your thoughts?
So I was thinking about, you know how there's like Japanese dry lager,
yeah,
right? I don't know if the rice itself adds a little bit of dryness to it. I'm trying to figure it out, you know, get that mouthfeel going. It feels a little dry. Yeah. It doesn't feel like wet. It feels like, you know, when you drink a wine that's a little dry and you're just like, okay, all right, that's taken away at least the perception of hydration. So I don't know. That's just a thought going through my head. I really don't know what the hell is going on here, but I think it's at least a little bit dry. Honestly,
now that you say that, like, it kind of resonates with, like, my tongue is feeling. Because I was like, huh, like, what is, like, it's good beer. It's a perfect light beer. But like you were saying, like, I kind of find myself going, man, this is kind of dry. But honestly, I like it, though.
So, look, it's like that thing where, you know, when you get that kind of slight dry, slight sweetness, it keeps bringing you back for more. I think that's what we're getting at is something like that that's so light and refreshing. You want to keep drinking more of it. And I think that's what it kind of embodies. I know on the style I was looking on Untappd, it says, brewed to be paired with your favorite seafood dish. Drinks very light and refreshing while carrying notes of lime zest and lemongrass.
Ooh. Can I say that is just very... Now I got to take this when I go have revolving sushi.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, man.
Any kind of fish, any kind of... I don't know. It's just so light. It's not going to be like heavy and it's going to go well with a lot of dishes. So rating-wise, let's go across the board. Knock it out here.
I think I rated this on Untappd.
Yeah, you rated it a 5, I saw.
Yeah. Honestly, it is a 5. Yeah. I mean,
category, especially super light beer.
Yeah, and I'm a whore when you have a Japanese lager or a Japanese rice lager. Yeah. Like, Heron put me on, and ever since he put me on, I've just been on that wave. And honestly, this is a 5 for me.
Yeah, like, seeing it at Corey's for a 4-pack. It was a great, reasonable price. Like, it's a no-brainer. I got it. Then I know you got it. I'm sure Heron's got some. So it drew our eye, 8-bit, hits all the boxes. Heron, what would you rate it?
I mean, there's almost a little too much flavor going on in this thing.
Yeah, as you can tell, I have none in my glass.
Yeah. And there's a little, I don't know. It's like, it looks like water with like a little bit of yellow, like the tiniest bit of yellow food coloring to it, right? So it's cute. It doesn't look super appealing, but it kind of looks like glass in a way. I don't know. I would rate it about, I would say like a 4.2 if I were to throw something at it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to reach for it. I don't absolutely love it. Japanese style. I mean, I guess they're definitely sweeter than this. This is on the less sweet side. Like when we talk about sweetness, like a little bit ago, it's really not that sweet. It's just got a little other flavors, like a little sweet, you know? Yeah. Like it's just, I don't know. It has its own like cloudiness to it in a way.
Yeah. I guess that's what it's saying. Like that lime zest and like lemongrass. Maybe that's what the more you drink it, the more you're getting that kind of taste.
It's like a mist of lime or what was it? The lemongrass.
Yeah.
It's like a mist of lemongrass just going over your tongue. It's not necessarily like a sharp one.
Yeah.
It just like hangs out and it exists and it's a good beer.
Yeah.
It's just good.
So, JB, before we move on to the next one, we've been busy, boys.
Yes.
Heron just got back from Seattle. We went to Tenaya Creek, or now known as Beer Zombies Co.
A brand, of Beer Zombies, yep.
And we were there for St. Patrick's Day. Heron and I were there for their 10th birthday celebration. Yes. We've been out there. Heron and I it was just me and Gab. We went to Astronomy's Last Day.
Yes, uh-huh.
That was very sad. Very, very sad to see that place go. But, hey, it's part of life. I mean, at least we got
part
to
experience
At least we got to experience it, have a couple good beers before, you know, they're out. But we've been out. If you see us out, come say hi. Come chat with us. We're not going to bite. We're not going to, you know, yell at you. We're going to invite you to sit down with us. Let's have a conversation. We could talk sports. We could talk anything.
Beer.
Besides politics. We don't talk politics. Yeah, that's the one rule. No politics.
I went to school for that. What do you mean?
I know. He's a lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk politics, you can talk to Heron. Yeah. JB and I, we're going to.
Only if you're going to vote for me if I run.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Hey, throw it in there. We usually bring stuff to share. It's a big thing when we're out. Even during St. Patrick's Day, I brought a stout from Pure Project and A-State to share. We've had it before. It was now I'm going to forget what the name is.
Wait, which stout?
The A-State and a Circular Paradigm?
Wait, is that the one. Had that?
Yeah, I brought it during the St. Patrick's Day. Remember I brought the little tasters over?
Oh, shit. I had no idea that was that one.
Yes. So okay, that was the one, cool. Yeah, I brought to share with people. So, yeah, make sure to always check out what we're bringing. To wrap this one up on the first beer, I would rate it probably 4.8. Pretty high up there. Or I've already drank a 4-pack, and I think I had two more cans in the fridge. So, definitely... something that I like to lean towards when I don't want to drink anything heavy. So killed it.
We have a favorite on the pod. And yes, it's been a favorite now since last year around this time, mm-hmm, especially for you guys, and especially for our guy over here, Heron. We got another Solaris beer on the podcast, boys. It is Door into Springs. It's a hazy IPA. Let's see here. What does it say? It's a 6%er, boys.
Yeah.
And it's just a hazy IPA, just a single. Nothing too crazy that I can tell off the top. What are you guys getting for smell-wise?
I'm getting a single. Where are the singles at?
Whoa. Yeah,
single IPA.
Singles?
I was like a DJ right now. You know, ooh, where are all the single ladies at?
Cheers. All the single ladies. Where are the single ladies.
A little citrusy, a little sweet on the nose. That's what I get.
Man. I don't know what's going on. I feel like the last three beers that we've had, and when I say three, we recorded a bite episode before this. Yes. So if you guys are counting at home, this is our second one for this episode. But I don't know. I just feel like everything's been going down really smooth. I feel like the flavors come up after like the first two sips, though.
You didn't pregame the podcast, did you?
We did. We had a Tripping Animals on.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, we had their Mortalis collab, actually.
I didn't even realize there was a Mortalis collab.
Let's see here.
Let me see the camera.
We're going to pass JB the can over here. It's his mic. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell us what's up with this beer.
Yeah, because I'm just curious because of the flavors. I'm trying to interpret it, and I don't know, maybe Heron could go and kind of give us a little peek into this because there's some flavors like I feel like I recognize, but it's just not coming through right away.
The hops are giving me like a little earth.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because I'm getting like
a little earth, almost a little funk too. Like
a little earth, but it's like a dry, but kind of clean, but still kind of hoppy. I'm getting a lot of things.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there was Citra in this.
Yeah, so the hops in this, hand-selected Citra, Cascade, and Simcoe hops.
Hoo-hoo! D-Bro starting to get the flavors of some hops. Man.
So is Cascade the like controversial one that not many people like, or?
I thought it was Nelson.
Yeah. Okay, Nelson. Yeah, that Nelson is a peculiar one.
Yeah, it's weird because this one, it goes kind of in route with, has good flavor, it's drinkable, little bit of complexity to it, but it kind of depends on what styles and what flavors you're looking for. I think this one for me is going to be right at, I'm just going to jump into a rating, probably like a 4.3. It's just a solid IPA. I don't know how to feel about it. It's just all over the place a little bit for me personally. And I'm getting to like, it's kind of clean, a little bit earthy, a little hoppy. It's like a bunch of things going on. And I would drink it. I'd probably have like this one and then have another can at the house if I just wanted to have a single IPA, something low ABV. But
honestly, I think we might have to get something a little bit stronger to change the taste buds. Because I just went back and had some of the Japanese lager.
Yeah.
And I feel like the taste is kind of similar onto both of them.
Yeah.
So I feel like our palates aren't getting the full effect of that flavor.
Yeah.
So we might have to come back to rate this one after we try this next one.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I'm interpreting it. Maybe that's why you're not picking up on a lot of flavors. And maybe that's why you feel like there's a lot going on,
but it's not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This one's crazy though. So this one feels more, the one we're having right now feels more like a lemon water in a way. Like a lemon water with a little bit of hops in it. Like it's just like, it's nice and light. Like the body's pretty decently light. I mean, of course, not as light as a Japanese lager.
No, yeah.
But it's still decently light. It's got some flavor in there. It doesn't have any offensive flavors, but it has, you know, just kind of like a little lemon to your water.
Yeah, and it's like Heron brought a good point of, it's not offensive at all. It's not like I'm getting any like crazy flavors where I'm like, ooh, I wouldn't like draw to this, but it's just one of those things to where it's not personally hitting those check boxes. And I think D-Bro makes a good point. Maybe we're just a little clouded right now, or maybe it's just the hopping between beers, because we did have the pre-pod beer.
Well, I just think that these two beers, I know like it's
going in line. Yeah.
Yeah, going in line. I just feel like the characteristics of the flavors of this one is just kind of too similar to the Japanese lager. Yeah, it's
bleeding into it.
It's bleeding into it, and I feel like that's why we feel like there's so much going on. Okay. So I'm not going to rate this one just yet. Okay. Because I'm going to try this one, and then I will come back to this one. Just to see, maybe the shock in the palate will be like, all right, hey, this one tastes a little
bit different. It brings up a good point, too, is, you know, so I guess sometimes we should, and when we're going down a flight or going through different beers, is have a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Maybe have some nuts or, you know.
Some nuts.
A little sparkling water. You want some water?
Sparkling water? Oh, a little sparkling water?
Hey, give me a splash of sparkling water, some nuts. There you go. Hey. Come on.
Pause.
Hostess with the mostest.
That's my fault.
Pause. But all right, introduce the next one.
All right, so the next one is another one we got from Corey's. It's from Trippin' Animals. Look, it's a cool little alligator.
Shout out, Thomas, Wandering Tortoise. He brings in a lot of cool beers in Arizona. He basically, what's the best way to put it? He is doing a great job to be the middleman in developing relationships with breweries, having these cool, unique friendships to bring beers to different markets, and he helped get Trippy Animals out here. So awesome to have. I know so many people appreciate that and love that, because we've even seen Trippy Animals all over different spots. Beer Zombies, Corey's, Speedy Mart, so, and I think even Cerveza's had them. So shout out to you, man. It's always great to see people actively growing the community, bringing cool beer, and we appreciate that bringing out to our market.
So, the name of this one is Triple Ever Haze. It's a 10%er, boys. It's a double dry hop triple IPA brewed with Citra Cryo, Cashmere Cryo, and Amarillo Cryo hops.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be a fucking banger, I feel like.
Yeah, and the can art's pretty cool.
Yeah, the can art reminds me of Crocky.
Yeah, Trip Animals always has cool can art. We've had them on the podcast plenty of times before. I love their dark lager. I love the regular lager. No Mames, the dark version and the regular version. Always so amazing.
Before we break it down, and we're going to cheers right now, but Heron, when you smelt this earlier, you said there was a lot going on. So now that you had a little bit of time to kind of gather your thoughts, kind of think about it, I want to hear your thoughts. Just off of the smell that you got.
So, when I went to Wandering Tortoise the last time, I don't know, 6 months ago, whatever, I had the Ordinary Everhaze, which is a double IPA. I don't know what hops are in there. I would assume maybe the same ones, but maybe I could be wrong. Here we have three cryo hops. The original Everhaze, no idea. However, that was one of my favorite beers ever. Like, Everhaze is incredible. So when I see a crocodile on that thing, I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be good. This is definitely different. It's got its own character. A triple between a double.
It's a triple in between a double.
So what do you get on the nose? Because for me, there's a lot going on. I'll go after you.
I can't point it out. That thing's crazy. What do we think?
So for me personally, when I smell this, it has such a sweet aroma to it. I
feel like I'm smelling a citrus flower in a way. Like a flower that just bloomed. Like that's what I'm getting.
Yeah,
it's just like
the mix of such a sweet juiciness, but at the same time like a citrusy, nice floral smell where
it's like melon-like too.
Melon,
know,
like, there you go. That's what I was looking for. Like a melony sweetness.
But honestly, I just think this beer is just, the smell's so crazy. Yeah. Like you would never think you would get this from a double dry hop triple. It's crazy.
Oh, I taste it because I already took a drink.
Too. Yeah. We cheers before that.
I know.
We might have. You're right. I'm the only loyal one. It's all right.
Whew.
So
So I'm curious.
And honestly, with the double dry hop, made it really taste like a double. It didn't make it feel like it was a triple at all.
Wait. Hold on. This is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's weird because, like, when I drank it, and, like, you hear a double dry hop, and you're like, oh, man, this is going to be kind of dry. And it's not really that dry.
Yeah, and the aroma, because, all right, so when we get back into the dry hopped categories, right, we just had one in our bite episode that was a triple dry hop, triple. Going to that, to this, comparing the two, right, so vastly different in terms of smell, taste. It's crazy because we've been going up the ladder in terms of light, basically a Japanese light lager going to a single IPA to a triple IPA, and then having the time to reflect on this, smelling this triple and tasting it. So when you get into this triple, sweet, slightly boozy, but in the term of like the alcohol sweetness, but not in like a burning way to where it's like nasty, because some triples you could get that burning taste. This one, smooth up front with a little sweetness, a little bit of that like sugary burn in the alcohol slightly, but overall great aroma, great taste, unique in its own way. The other one that we had, very different, way more complex. I like that this one, it's weird because I complimented how complex that was, where this one, I'm complimenting the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the simplicity of this one. That's why we love beer. That's why we get into this, right? We love how breweries are able to do their own unique taste and turn and specialties on their beers. Heron, D-Bro, I want to hear your thoughts on it because of the fact when you know that I'm the triple lover for the most part.
Bro, you're not a triple lover. You're a triple whore.
It's my favorite style. Even though I've graduated to enjoying other styles way more on a frequency basis.
Triple's the ace in your back pocket.
But the most enjoyable is a damn good triple. Because it's just nice to drink a really strong beer and just be able to enjoy the full thing and just relax, you know? But so, let's get into this.
We'll let you go. I'm going to let you go first, Heron. I want you to dissect this. I feel like your table's turning.
So you know how there are like two different melons out there? I'm sure there's more varieties, whatever. But you got one melon that looks kind of yellow, kind of orangey, kind of like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got like a white melon, right? If I'm not mistaken. This is more of kind of like a white melon.
Okay.
It's giving me that melon vibe, maybe after throwing it in my head for so long. And it just really is round. Like, it kind of is just like that fruit where it's got that sweetness. And it's got that kind of like whatever fruity kind of deals going on. So, like,
cantaloupe and cantaloupe? And cantaloupe? Kind of like that?
Oh, like,
cantaloupe and...
No, honeydew? Because there's, like, the honeydew.
There's the honeydew. There's
cantaloupe. So, like, the greenish with the white rind? Or are you thinking, like, cantaloupe orange inside with the, like, webbed kind of outside?
I think the first one.
Yeah, the melon. Okay, so, yeah. So, honeydew. Melon, yeah.
Honeydew.
Yeah, because that's green inside, but then has the white kind of, like, skin to it.
Okay, yeah. So, it's definitely the green. However, a more kind of subdued green. You know? Okay. Sometimes those cantaloupes can be, like, or is it called a cantaloupe? Or honeydew?
Honeydew. It's, like, where they can look, it's more of, like, a greenish white. Like, yeah. Most people know it because honeydew green.
I think I'm actually allergic to honeydew, to be honest.
Oh, shit. But, and we're sitting here talking about it. I'm sorry.
It's good. I've eaten it, and... It's
that's kinda, how I found out it was allergic.
No, I mean, you know, it just allergies are funny. Sometimes you experience nausea during an allergy. Sometimes you actually get hives. Other times you just have like an itchiness in your mouth, and you're like, "What the hell is going on?" But yeah, this is definitely that to a kind of more lesser extent, and it's good. I don't know.
Honestly, you guys kind of talked about it all: the complicity, the different kind of ways that you get the flavors and everything. I will say Tripping Animals is climbing up my ladder of breweries. For this, I mean, we've had a couple different kind of triple animals on the pod. We've had a couple different triples from them. And honestly, they're starting to become that brewery where what it says on the can, you're like, damn, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it honestly is becoming an easy shopper for me now. Before, you kind of look at it and be like, oh, that's cool can, or let me try it.
Yeah.
The flavor's been consistent for Tripping Animals. This has just been phenomenal, well-rounded. It's hard to not say it's a five.
Yeah.
Well, because it just checks everything off of the box for me.
Well, and that's tough to, like, you bring up a good point is, like, diversity in beers. And if you've watched the podcast or know us in any capacity, is we love breweries that are versatile, right?
It's not even just versatile. We appreciate when a brewery can deliver the same kind of tasting bangers after bangers and different styles.
It's
hard to do. And when you find a brewery that makes a fucking bitchin' ass IPA, a bitchin' ass sour, a bitchin' ass lager, just all these different kind of styles, you kind of gravitate that towards that a little bit more. At least I find myself doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I look at some of the can arts and like, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'll give you a try. But then, like, if I like you, I'll give you a second try. Yeah. I'll give you a third try. Fuck, I'll even give you a fourth try. But out of those four tries, I can't distinguish, like, your profile or your distinct flavors that you're going for, I kind of lose you.
Yeah.
Tripping Animals, I think we've had it, like, what, four or five times on the pod? Kind of around there.
Yeah, so we've had the regular lager, or the Mexican lager, the dark lager, and we had the stout that we got at Wandering Tortoise, Scarlet, their stout. It had a little ladybug on it, yeah. And then we've had sours from them, too.
Yeah, and it's just when a brewery consistently delivers these great flavors, these great beers, it's hard to, like, not pick up their beer.
Yeah.
And this one is just another fact of Tripping Animals doing Tripping Animals things. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a flavor and a brewery that I like. And yeah, I'm going to be biased because when you prove to me multiple times through multiple styles, you get brownie points. I'm going to be honest. You get pretty big brownie points from D-Bro over here. So, like, you guys, Tripping Animals, I'm going to finally give this one the rating of a five. I have two fives on this episode, boys. What about you, Heron?
Well, I mean, it's not an incredibly sexy beer. However, it does everything it needs to do.
Yeah.
Right? It gives you the flavor. It's not like, oh my God, people are going to be racing to get this. However, the fact that we have it in Nevada, incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. This place is like, we're Tripping Animals is what, in Florida somewhere?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just absolutely insane that we can even get this over here. It's one of my top breweries, for sure. You know, amongst Pure Project, 8-Bit, Solaris, Electric, you know, like Tripping Animals has made a name even in the West.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love this beer. I could have it, you know, time and time again. Of course, maybe not more than once a week.
But yeah.
I mean, if someone offers it to me in a little, you know, a little taster, I'm going to be excited about it every time.
Yeah.
It's a well-made beer. So, I don't know what rating that gets. A 4.3, 4.4, whatever, somewhere around there. Like, solid.
Yep.
JB.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat. Probably 4.5 for me, because, like Heron said, in a different way I'll word it, is I'm enamored by the simplicity of it and how it tastes good on those levels. And sometimes that's what you need from a triple. And I like their style. I think I do lean towards liking their single hazy the best out of that lineup. But for this one, I still would rate it at 4.5, and I definitely recommend people trying it. I know we have to go back for you two to rate the Solaris. I think I'm going to keep my rating there with the original one because of the fact that I went back and forth after trying the triple, trying it again. Still, kind of that middle of the road for me. It's a good single IPA, but there's nothing crazy drawing it to be like, wow, that wow factor of being complex or any style like sticking out or hop, like, dominating. So just a really good, enjoyable IPA.
Wait, before, you know, just to clear the record, when you talk about their single, do you mean the regular Everhaze?
Yes.
Which I think is a double, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So. I could be wrong, but also I think it's a double because it's around 7.5%. Okay, so it might be double,
yeah.
It could be a double, but whatever it is, it's Everhaze, the original one.
So I feel like I know that I've had a double and a single from them, so I have to figure that out.
So I'm going to go back to the Solaris real quick. So for it being a hazy IPA, it is what it is. It is a hazy IPA, and I get the traditional flavors and taste of a hazy IPA. And with that being said, like Solaris, I think this is my first time having one of their single IPAs. So this is kind of like a new avenue for me for Solaris. But I will say that for a hazy IPA, it, like JB says, I feel like it kind of missing something. I don't know what it is. If it's we went down the line or whatnot. But I got to give this a respectable 4.3, 4.4. Yeah. I think that's a perfect rating for this one. This might be one that I have to try first before I start drinking all these different styles just to give like a true basing. But a 4.3, 4.4 is perfect for me on that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to call it a filler beer because it definitely deserves its respect. However, I mean, it brings nothing crazy to the table. Right? So if you're just out there, you're like, all right, alcohol is bad for me. However, I'm going to drink some excellent beer. This one, you could probably skip out on. However, it brings just whatever we described to the table very well.
Yeah.
You know, it brings some flavor, but it's, you know, kind of subtle.
Yeah.
And if you like subtleties, and you know, you're gonna love this one. However, if you want something that you're going to, I guess, pick apart and have a different flavor or a little more funk or something crazy like Brujos, like, this is not necessarily going to be for you. You're going to be unimpressed by it. But by that, you know, it's not an unimpressive beer. It just is subtle in what it does. So, I don't know. It's, again, in that 4 and above ranking, you know.
That's what's always tough is we're always putting such a good beer against each other in ratings, and we're used to.
It's not even just good beer. We're putting great breweries against each other. Like I said, these three beers in front of us are probably in my top five. If not in my top five, my top seven.
Yeah.
So like when we say, hey, we're giving you guys good quality of beer here, to us, for our taste buds, this is what we're putting out. And shout out to fucking Corey's for having it all.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, a couple years ago, we might have just got maybe a couple 8-bits. We wouldn't have gotten any Solaris. We wouldn't have gotten any Tripping Animals. Now we're getting beer from all over the place. Now they're stocking 450s, Pure Project, 8-bit, all these other ones. And we just got to say thank you to Corey's for that. Yeah. Shout out to Corey's for doing that.
Yeah. Shout out to, you know, obviously, I feel like, you know, Beer Zombies, Chris Jacobs, all of them have played a huge factor in bringing those beers out here. And even Thomas, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. The Las Vegas market has been incredible. So cheers to that.
Yeah. Cheers to that. And just a heads up, we got a couple events coming around in town that we're going to be all at. You might see half of the group. You might see all of us. It just depends. We're going to be at the Beer Zombies Co. 420 event. We're going to be at May the 4th be with you. And we're going to be at Free the Whales. So if you see us at any of these events, come by, stop by, say what's up. Try a couple of beers with us. Tell us what you think. We love to see you guys. We love to take photos with you guys. Please just come by and hang out with us.
Yeah.
But until then, cheers.
Yep, cheers. Later, guys. See ya.